Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. The president is
don't ever let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Let anybody take your man.
Did I remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready. Welcome again to Esprit.net News on Esprit Radio. Now, I want to remind you, you're listening to a week worth of news in just one setting. On this program, we have a good show. And again, if you're dialing in, 909-265-9189, you know, always forget that until last, so I thought I'd throw that in. Now, on this program, actor and comedian Charlie Murphy passes away from leukemia at age 57. And New York sees a 6% drop in 10 years for heart ailments, heart attacks, that kind of stuff, after a health law banned trans fats. That's what's going on. In Arizona, a high school female football player is the first female to win an NCAA football scholarship. And New York University researchers have found that people in noisy areas, you know, the big city, opposed to the country folks, have lower BMI and blood pressure than people who live in rural towns. We have that this week and more, at this week in court, and much more. So I just want to welcome you on to the show. Again, you're listening to Esprit.net News. You're getting your week worth of, you know, just weekly news wrap-up. So since there's a lot of things in the news and a lot of things I didn't cover last week, just a little bit under the weather, you know, we have a lot of news to catch up with. But before I get started, I want to say happy birthday to Brother Sean in Syracuse. And Reggie, I want to say happy birthday if you're listening. The actress, model, comedian, radio host, Claudia Jordan, her birthday is also shared with a lot of my friends, so I just want to say hey to everyone. Never know, you know, who's listening these days, so you want to make sure you acknowledge them, and thank you for listening if you're tuning in. So I just want to say that. And my brother Loki, you know, I don't think I did a show since your birthday, so happy birthday to brother Loki. And if you're in on the line, hit one, we'll bring you in. Just want to say thank you for everybody who's joining us. Now, our first story: U.S. unemployment rate fell to its lowest in almost a decade in March, despite the economy adding a smaller-than-expected number of jobs. The unemployment rate fell from 4.7% in February to just 4.5%, and that's the lowest since May of 2007. Now, anything under 5% is considered to indicate full employment. Just so that you know, that's considered full employment. And in case you don't know, we're still operating under President Obama's economy. So the economy hasn't changed. There has not been a new federal budget, and there's been no tweaks to the economy since there's been a new president. So don't get that twisted when we see things change. So just kind of coincidence that it fell under a new guy. But the Obama's put some things in place that everybody else is working with. Now, Canada has said that it has taken steps to tackle airline overbookings following the incident involving United Airlines. Now, their transportation department minister said that the government will put forward a passenger rights law this spring. It is expected to include compensation rules for those denied boarding due to factors within the carrier's control. Now, you know, I'm going to have some more about this story, of the actual story of what happened in the airlines, later on in the show. you know, just wanted to start off. But Canada has now jumped on board with that. Now, Americans spend a record-breaking $16 billion on plastic surgery in 2016. That's up $6 billion in less than a decade. So the most popular procedure by far was the muscle relaxing, and I don't know why they call it relaxing, but I guess it is, Botox injections. Now, they amassed approximately $2.6 billion from 7 million patients last year. Apparently, I don't know what Botox injections, but I could have sworn it helped your, you know, wrinkles or something. But I didn't think that was muscle relaxing. But heck if I know. I don't know what you use Botox for. Just thought I'd put that out there. Now, a heart attack rate plummet thanks to the trans fat ban in New York State or New York City. Now, New York sees a 6% drop in 10 years after they enacted this landmark health law. Now, before and after data shows hospital admissions for heart attacks and strokes have declined by 6% in New York counties, which also banned trans fats in 2007. So there's an anticipation that there may be, you know, again, a sweep across the nation to ban trans fats. Don't know if it's going to happen, you know, in some of the red states. They feel a little freer to eat anything they want. So, hey, they may pretty much just go with it. All right. Now, I want to remind you, you're listening to EsperyNet News on Espery Radio. You can tune in on every Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You know, our calling number is 909-265-9189 if you want to call in and listen live. But you can always catch us in the archives, EsperyRadio.soulofsyracuse.com. I almost gave out the wrong URL again, but here we go. Now, Rebecca Longo, who's 18, who is a kicker for the Chandler Basha High School football team in Arizona, has made history as she becomes the first woman to ever receive an NCAA football scholarship. Now, they're not saying what school she's going to go to, but apparently she has received a scholarship. So just wanted to shout her out. All right, now, actor, comedian, stand-up funny man, Charlie Murphy has died following his battle with leukemia. Now, if you don't know Charlie Murphy from his claim to fame in a big way was the Chappelle Show and, you know, the true stories with Rick James and the Charlie Murphy stories with Rick James and Prince. If you don't know him from there, you know, Charlie Murphy is he is the brother of Eddie Murphy, the older brother of Eddie Murphy, and he worked on films like Harlem Nights, Vampire in Brooklyn, and one of my favorite Eddie Murphy films, Norbit. And also, you know, if you want to go way back to CB4 with Chris Rock, you know, he played Gusto. And Roll Bounce, he had a lot of roles in side roles in movies that you probably wouldn't even think about. But Charlie Murphy was in Are We There Yet? And in Power, the crime drama that's on Stars. So there's been a lot of celebrity and just people all over the place making comments and statements on Twitter and social media. You know, I saw YouTube video of D.L. Hughley. Those guys, really good friends. You can tell, you know, he's worked with George Lopez and Cedric the Entertainer and all those guys, pretty much spending a lot of time together. But actually, Dave Chappelle came out and this week, and he took the stage at a John Mayer concert, and he said, "Today I got some really terrible news. My good friend Charlie Murphy passed away this morning, and everybody in comedy is heartbroken." He said, "Rest in peace, Charlie Murphy. We love you. We love your comedy. We love your stories, and we love your spirit." So Dave Chappelle, you know, right on the day that he passed on Wednesday, came out to make mention of Charlie Murphy. So I wanted to make sure that we talked about that. I know you know, Kathleen, the commission, when she comes on, wanted to talk about Charlie Murphy as well. But I just kind of didn't want to start the show off with it, but definitely want to dedicate some time to Charlie Murphy. I didn't know he was battling leukemia, but he was. Now, speaking of his brother, Eddie Murphy, you know, Paramount Pictures has hired the original writers from the 1988 comedy Coming to America to rewrite an anticipated sequel to the film. Now, the original film was directed by John Landis, starred Eddie Murphy, co-starred Arsenio, James Earl Jones, Sherry Headley, John Amos, Eric LaSalle, Louis Anderson, to name a few. There's a lot of people in there. And Coming to America was a critical success and grossed more than $288 million worldwide and went on to spawn a brief television series. I don't remember the television series. But anyway, the two writers wrote several more movies for Eddie Murphy, which includes Boomerang, which I know is a lot of people's favorite movie, Nutty Professor, and Nutty Professor to the Clump. So those guys are back at it again, writing a script for the sequel to Coming to America. All right. Now, I just want to let you know, you listen to Esprinet News on Esprit Radio. I don't mean to keep running through stories without taking a breath, you know. If my voice is a little deep, I was still a little under the weather, but I'm back. I'm feeling a lot better. Just still haven't shook it yet. So I wanted to, you know, slow down and tell you, you know, make sure if you have any questions, you can hit one on the line. I will bring you in if you want to talk about any of the topics. If you want to write in the chat room, you know, we may use your question or comment in the chat room, so feel free to engage there. All right, now Finland has been named the safest country in the world for tourists to visit, according to a new report. Now the UK and the US came in at 78th and 84th place respectively behind Zimbabwe. Now the EAU and Iceland scored second and third place, and this is taking account of tourist and business to security risk, including violence and terrorism. Oman took fourth place, followed closely by Hong Kong, Singapore, Norway in fifth, sixth, and seventh, respectively. And Switzerland was eighth. And get this, Rwanda scored ninth, and Qatar rounds out the top 10. But the U.S. was 84. Now, the safe and security rating was one section of this this report from the Geneva-based World Economic Forum. The risk of becoming a victim to petty crime was not included in the categories that they use, but the Travel and Tourism Competitiveness Report ranked 136 countries on factors and policies that influence the travel and tourism sector and contribute to a country's development and competitiveness. So, again, Finland's number one and Rwanda is ninth. That's a day you love something. Hey, shout out to Rwanda. All right, now, will hydrogen fuel cell cars become, you know, the new thing? Will it overtake electric cars? Now, experts say the vehicles can be fueled much faster and travel farther in between fill-ups if they have a hydrogen-fueled car. So car makers are gearing up to release fuel cell cars in the bid to crack the crackdown on pollution. So Honda, Toyota, and Hyundai have released hundreds of fueled cell cars and expect to lease over 1,000 this year. So that is supposed to be a new thing, not just an electric car, you know, because, again, you have to find the fuel stations or not the fuel stations, but the place to get electricity to refill. But they're saying that these new hydrogen fuel cars are going to be the thing. Now, I have to say for the record, it does sound like the difference between VH1 and Betamax, right? So when the Betamax, for you young kids who don't know what that is, came out for videotapes, it wasn't until later that a VHS tape, but it was more popular and more movies were on it. So you got to let new technology sometimes run its course to see what everybody is going to settle on. All right, now, women who are more addicted to using their smartphones are at a risk of depression. They said despite feeling good hormones that they give off, those who show a desire to constantly use their cell phones, known as nomophobia, display signs of the blues, according to a study by Binghamton University in New York, have found that out. Again, I don't know the depths of that study, but again, you can go look at it. I didn't know there was a condition called nomophobia for people who are addicted to their smartphones. Who knew? Now, a doctor who was dragged off the United plane needs facial reconstruction surgery after suffering a broken nose. He's missing two of his front teeth, I think, and a concussion. And he said that the experience was scarier than fleeing Vietnam in 1975. So Dr. Dow, who was on that flight, through his attorneys, told the story about him actually fleeing by boat out of Vietnam during the war, you know, after, I guess it was before the war ended. He said it was nothing, I guess, when the reporters asked about him coming back on the plane saying something like he was willing to die. He didn't have any recollection of coming back on the plane, by the way. That's what a concussion will do for you. You get a concussion, they blow him out, he ran back in. He said he didn't remember, or he said he doesn't remember. But he felt the experience was worse than his escaping out of Vietnam in 1975. So the lawyers representing the man who United said initially that was an overbooked flight, and then they said it wasn't an overbooked flight. This happened in Chicago. They compared his treatment at the hands of the police to stormtroopers, is what his lawyer said, and to what he was seeing during Vietnam War. But the story now is, as it's been updated, it wasn't overbooked. There was a pilot, four pilots, or the two pilots and the two crew members, that they wanted to get to another destination, so it wasn't an emergency of overbooked passengers. It was an emergency for United operations that they wanted to take them out. And instead of going on a plane, apparently, to ask who wanted this $800 voucher, they let the computer pick him and his wife, who was also a doctor, who paid a full fare because they had patients to see, or he had patients to see the next day. Paid their full fare, the computer picked them out, and they didn't come on board to ask for volunteers because they were already boarded. That's the bottom of that story. Now, United is getting a lot of bad press along with this, because now there are stories coming out where a grandmother who's 94 was staff forced this woman who had degenerative bone disease out of her $3,600 business seat into the economy class for a 16-hour flight after she was going to visit her relatives. And I don't know why they moved her, but they forced her out of her seat, and she paid $3,500 or $3,600 for that flight, and they took her out of first class. I can't remember what the reason was, but, hey, there we go, United. United also, in the past, it's tried to bump passengers out of first class during a Christmas flight from Aspen to make room for their CEO, who was under fire, Muniz, and his family, and threatened another with arrest for not giving up the seat to a higher priority passenger. So they said, we want to bump you, but we have a higher priority passenger that need to get on this flight, and it just didn't make it. It's just really interesting. Another United story. Now, before we get off airlines, you know, American Airlines, this week is facing criticism. A Korean pastor is suing American Airlines for racism, claiming that he was bumped off the flight while a white passenger was allowed on. So this Korean pastor sued on, today because he claimed that airlines kept him off the flight. He purchased tickets for they kept him off a flight that he purchased tickets for simply because of his background. Now, I don't know how they're going to tell this one in court, but he is now going to go in court for that one. Now, the U.S.-led airstrikes killed 18 friendly fighters in Syria, mistaking them for ISIS fanatics after the victims gave allied forces the wrong coordinates for an airstrike, and they accidentally targeted Syrian Democratic Forces units, which were battling near the terror group. So, again, as we start hearing about how war goes, we really don't hear about the friendly fire incidents, but apparently this one was bad. There was another 18 killed yesterday. Now, a former British spy chief is suggesting that Donald Trump may have secretly borrowed Russian money to keep his business afloat when others in the West couldn't lend it to him. So Sir Richard Dearlove, who's the head of the Secret Intelligence Service between 1999 and 2004, has accused Trump of borrowing Russian money during the financial crash. Now, we are going to see how this pans out, but it should be pretty interesting to watch and see how he's going to duck around that one. Now, if you didn't know, the British were the first to pass on details of links between Donald Trump's campaign team and Russian agents to the Obama administration. Now, the officials at the GCHQ learned of suspicious interactions between Trump's inner circle and a suspected Russian agent in late 2015, and they passed that information to the United States. So if you're wondering where some of that information is coming from, it's coming from our allies, and it's coming out that it's coming from our allies. So stop trying to act like Obama administration was after you, because they should have been after you even if they weren't. All right, just wanted to put that out there. Now, health inspectors find 13 violations at Mar-a-Lago, including undercooked fish, badly stored raw meat, and dinner plates covered in bacteria. Now, more than a dozen health violations were found in the kitchen at Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort in Palm Beach, Florida. This is just days before they hosted Japanese Prime Minister at Mar-a-Lago. So he has actually gone back to Mar-a-Lago today, and come to find out he spent nearly a quarter of his time since he's been elected in Mar-a-Lago. His trips are costing the taxpayers at least $1 million each time he travels. And Trump is also given the property, like this property, there's a membership fee of $2,000 a person. He's also given him free exposure. So we're going to see how this is going to play out in our Senate hearings a little later on in life. But he's given him free publicity by going there every chance he gets. All right, just wanted to put that out there. Now, I just wanted to remind you, listen to Esprinet News. Let's go to the phone lines because I see the Commish Kathleen on. So let's go in and bring her on. How you doing, Commish?
I have a stomachache.
Oh, no, not you.
I was at Mar-a-Lago and had some fish.
Oh, no. That news story should have gave me a stomachache. I just thought about it. You're right. My stomach now hurts. Anybody thinking about going to Mar-a-Lago need to have a stomachache. Because something
wrong
with you.
And, you know, I thank you for saying about the free publicity, because I was, you know, just from the very beginning, and he's talking, we've been saying about this blind trust and not promoting his businesses and all of this. Isn't Mar-a-Lago supposed to be a TURMP-owned property?
Oh, yes, it is.
Okay.
Yep.
So now when he goes there, the Secret Service also go there,
and they have
I
to pay.
Believe they have to pay, like they have to pay for the command post that they have set up in the TURMP tower on Central Park West. So
yeah.
Not only are we covering his expenses and the cost of the detail, we're paying him to cover him.
Right.
Why is there an outcry about this? Why am I the only one?
I don't know.
I
think the Secret Service had to rent out office space there as well.
Yes.
So if they have to set up a permanent shop there, that means your customers to your own facility that you own is getting Secret Service protection. So not only are you giving them $200,000 membership, then they're like, and the Secret Service will be protecting your stay. Because they have to look out for the building while they're there.
Right. So, and thank you for saying that, because earlier I thought I heard you say $2,000, and I was like, really? It was $200,000. I thought it was $2 million.
Yeah, $200,000.
But, yeah.
$200,000. Yeah, yeah. $200,000 membership, and it's probably that plus, you know, whatever they have to pay to be there.
Whatever
but they
you have
to, a, you have
to
be have a membership, yeah, up to, that costs you $200,000. That's great advertising for him.
Oh,
yeah,
my
that's
goodness.
Just like the owner of Rolls-Royce owning, you know, becoming president and then making them drive him around in Rolls-Royce. Because it's just marketing for you.
Now,
the Anti-Defamation League is offering to turn Sean Spicer, his offensive Hitler comment into a teachable moment. They want to hold a Holocaust education session at the White House. I don't know what to say about it. You know, out of all the racist, crazy stuff they say, this is pretty much the only thing that they have apologized for, and it's like, I am so sorry, it was insensitive. I mean, that groveling, I'm like, man, y'all are really scared now. You know what I mean? Like, after all the offensive, crazy stuff that they say, this one got them shook.
I'm just glad they didn't get shook up by all the mess he sent to April, said to April.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, okay.
Yeah, I'm not saying that nobody should be upset. I'm saying that it is funny how we pick and choose what we need to be outraged about.
Yes, I agree.
I'm gonna choose not to be outraged. I'm gonna just look and see how this works out, but there's a lot of speculation that he may lose his job over it. Thinking, whatever. He said worse.
Much worse. And I just wonder, you know, is this the spinning, you know?
Yeah.
By the time you remember that he said something about the H word, he said the H word, we're already finding out about what you just mentioned earlier with regards to the loans from the R people. And
right.
The thing about that is that Hillary Clinton said this during her debates. She said it. She said every single thing that we're finding out about him and every single thing that the President Obama found out about him, that said about him, we are finding out now. Let me correct that. Every single thing that the President Obama and Madam Clinton said about this man during the election season is coming to bear. Everything.
Yep. And everything he said about her, primarily they lied.
They lied.
And her stuff is coming true.
Yes.
And you, again, I don't know what to think about this from the standpoint that, she was not well-liked, but this guy is pathological. Like, his problems are much, much bigger. So it's interesting to watch that part. What are you saying?
Oh no, I was agreeing with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to watch, but I'm watching everybody's reaction to this stuff. And even I was watching Lion Brian Williams for just a second because I don't really watch him much. But, you know, watching them, the news is still, I mean, still being so doggone crazy where when they dropped some bombs in Syria, which did no damage, mind you, you know,
right.
They were still able to fly in and out of the airport the same day. He said when they were shooting bombs from the carrier, that it was beautiful. He described shooting military ordnance at somebody was a beautiful sight to see all of the bombs in the air. Like, that's how sick we are as a country. And that's, you know, why we can't understand why other people in other countries don't like us. It's that kind of arrogance that our media is not being honest. So even today, as he was talking, and I can only watch a few minutes of him, Lawrence O'Donnell does a better job of covering this stuff. But and Rachel doesn't either, right? She's just cynical, and, you know, she can pick something apart really well, but they're not covering it from a news standpoint. And Brian Williams definitely doesn't, because he's helping sidetrack everybody. Here's what's going on in Mar-a-Lago kind of thing, opposed to saying, here is what you should be looking at. They're not doing their job in news. So it's disappointing, but it's understandable why so many people are confused. You know, and more important to all of this to me is that, you know, there is nearly 12 wars going on in Syria. You have the Kurds fighting Turkey. You have in southern, those guys are fighting Saudi Arabia. Then you have regional stuff. You have local stuff. You have we supported one of the anti-Assad groups, which turns out to be another terrorist group, so we armed them, the United States did, because no matter who you arm, they're still not going to like you. And then they turned out to be a terrorist group. And then Al-Qaeda's still there. And then you have ISIS. And then you have Russia helping protect the government, which by right they should, critiquing them as a nation and don't want to go on anybody's list. But the issue is that when someone has an ally, we just have to respect that we respect who China's allies are. We just have to kind of say everybody's not on our team. But you can't say to someone's allies you can't protect them if they're friends. I think that's how we need to deliver the news, so that people have a more honest perspective about what they're seeing, so that everything's not like us against them, the good guy, bad guy, and John Wayne's going to come in and he's going to shoot 10 people and then the war's going to be over. Because more importantly, like we're going after North Korea, is that if North Korea may not attack us, but they're going to hit Seoul, Korea. They're batted down. So technically your allies are going to get hit. So you're still going to kill millions of people, and just to kill one person? Like at least we had a grown-up president, is all I have to say, who understood that.
We did.
You know, right. We had a grown-up president. So whether North Korea, because they're closer in proximity, whether they hit Japan or Hong Kong, they're going to hit a lot of people. And I have some friends in that region, I'm not going to say where they are, but who I grew up with, who's over there right now. And I can tell you this, that is going to touch a lot more Americans, because there's a lot of Americans abroad. So you don't even think about that when you start talking noise to people, that people have family and friends that are abroad, when you start trying to make noise from the comfort of your own home and talking to. But I think that's what Trump does. It's his thing.
Right.
All right. So I didn't mean to yell at that too long. I just wanted to put that out there. We really need to understand that Syria is not some kind of, you know, we're going to go in there and it's not Panama, you know. All right. So Yeah, if you live in a noisy inner city, they're saying that there's a bunch to complain about, but the horn blasting and the sound of road work and the screaming bar goers and stuff, they said that that contributes to an environment that actually helps your BMI. So a new study has found that the benefits of all the commotion of people living in the city has more people in better shape than people who live in rural areas. They said, you know, according to New York University's, I guess it's Langen Medical Center, they're saying the intensity from the noise from outside drives people to get up and get out and get moving. That's according to their research. And they said, in turn, this improves their blood pressure and dramatically lowers their risk of cardiovascular conditions like heart disease and stroke.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking I just need a nice little peaceful place where I can get some rest. But apparently that's saving us. We're going to have bad nerves and all of that. No doubt we're going to have really bad nerves, but apparently it kind of helps us somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm I don't know how much I'm agreeing with that study, but that's what they're telling us. You know, sometimes we just can't believe a study like you think you can, like you think you should, right? All right. Now, Jay-Z has pulled most of his music off of Spotify. 9 of his 12 albums are no longer on the Swedish music streaming service, with only 3 of his first records available, plus 2 collaboration records with R. Kelly and a handful of other big singles. So Spotify said that they can confirm that some of Jay-Z's catalog has been removed at the request of the artist. And if you don't know, Jay-Z bought his own streaming service. It's called Tidal. And he bought it in 2015, and it only has about 3 million subscribers compared to Spotify that has 50 million paying subscribers. And, you know, Apple Music, which has 20, you know, you have bigger people out there. But, you know, Spotify, people seem to be making noise about this. But when Taylor Swift took her stuff off of Spotify, nobody had a problem. It's just that Jay-Z did it, and people are having a problem. So there's a lot of bad things going out there. But Beyonce also held her album, Lemonade, from Spotify. Prince's catalog is back to Spotify, Apple Music, and Napster in February after being available only on Tidal. So you know what happened with that. Them folks took it and put it back out there. But Jay-Z sold a third of Tidal, if you don't know, to Sprint, to the U.S. telecom company, for about $200 million. But he bought the whole thing for about $100 million. Yeah, I think he bought it for $50 million. And he showed a third of his share of his earnings to them for $200 million. So he already made his money back. Just going to make some more. I guess that's how you do it. I'm not mad at him for that. I'm just saying. You know. Hey, I try not to hate on people as much as possible. This is my thing. Like, y'all can do what y'all want. But my thing is, I'm just going to respect what Jay-Z is doing out there. You know, I meant to tell you that I can't remember if, did you hear, I did talk about Charlie Murphy a little bit.
Oh, you did.
Passing.
Okay.
But, we'll play a little clip from a collage of Charlie Murphy before we talk about him, but I know you wanted to talk a little bit about him and his passing, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll get to that in a few. But before I get to that, let me think. You know, Honda has now this self-driving robotic lawnmower called Midmo or something. It's coming to the U.S. Honda is, you know, I don't know how this is going to work, but equipped with a microcomputer and sensors that will correct your grass. So all you do is put it on your grass. I don't know if it's going to go in circles until it hits a corner, but it's going to sexually a lawnmower. I don't know how long it takes or anything, but Honda has just come out with a robot that's going to cut your grass. Now, I know that will sound like a lot to everybody, but for me, it's allergy season, so I'll be seeing how much that thing is going to cost.
Wow.
I'm going to make it work. Yeah, I bet you it'll just cut all my neighbors, and then it probably won't run out of gas before it gets back to mine. It'll probably be one of those deals. your robot's going crazy. Now, you know, robots. Now, you know, speaking of robots, there was a story talking about robots are learning to become racist and sexist. So scientists have revealed how artificial intelligent programs exhibits human-like biases. So researchers had discovered the better that those AIs are becoming, they're interpreting the human language and more likely to adopt the biases about race and gender that lurks within the data that is fed. But I'm not really surprised by that, because I think most people learn racist and biased stuff from learning European culture. I think we teach it. And so that should not be surprising that if you teach a robot the same thing that you learn and you're racist, your robot's going to be racist.
Your robot's going to be racist. Your robot's going
to
be racist.
I tried to be nice
in
how I was going to put that. What'd
you
say?
Nope.
There is no way you can be nice about how you're going to put that?
Nope.
If you're racist, matter of fact, if you're racist and you teach anybody anything, they're probably going to be racist too.
That's usually how that goes. That's why we had those people up in the administration who are so blatantly racist, because they were born into those families that were just 10 seconds beyond Jim Crow. Some of them themselves, Jim Crow.
And that's why you voted for them. Because you're racist.
And that's why you voted for them.
You can't get past your own biases, so you didn't find any problems with the racist stuff that they were saying, because it's so inbred into you.
That's right.
Go check yourself, people. That's all I want to say. Go check yourself for that one.
That's it.
Now, an Archdiocese of Chicago has reached a settlement totaling $3.15 million with three men who say that they were abused more than a decade ago by a priest convicted of child abuse. So I don't know what to say about that. I would say the guy's name, but I don't really care to. But Chicago's Archdiocese, I don't know why they've been slow getting out the name of these priests, but anybody in Chicago, Daniel McCormick is that guy's name. So I don't mean to throw a fan of flames or anything, but I'm just saying, they're slowly slipping these news stories up under under the rug, kind of. It's like, yeah, we settled it. That's fine. Now, according to Northwestern University study on racial differences amongst drug users, the study finds that recently published in the American Journal of Public Health, Abuse and Dependencies on Hard Drugs, Opioids, Amphetamines, etc. They are less common amongst delinquent African-American youth than those who are non-Hispanic white. Now, I don't know why they had to say delinquent, but anyway, I guess it's delinquent in any group. That black people are less likely to have drug addiction than white folks. The study was concluded over a course of 12 years and interviewed 1,829 youth, 1,172 males, 657 females between the age of 10 and 18, who were detained at Cook County Juvenile Temporary Detention Center in Chicago between 1995 and 1998. So researchers interviewed the participants in the study for up to nine times through the course of their 20s. And in that time, the findings revealed that the odds of a non-Hispanic white youth using cocaine were 30 times higher than an African-American. You're 30 times higher coming out of jail being white using drugs than a black person coming out of jail.
Jesus.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing about it is, you know, when you people go on probation, they get released, there's like, you know, what do you go to jail for and thinking about relapsing? But they're just showing that, no, white folks do that. Black people really don't as much. So the Hispanic participants trailed slightly behind, showing that they're 20 times more likely than black people, but white folks was 30 times more likely than black folks. How could black folks be at the low end of that and get the most scrutiny out of everybody else in the world?
Everybody else in the world. This is painful.
I know. It's one of those things. But, okay, so we have another cop incident. I mean, we always have a bunch of them, but a white Georgia cop is fired after he was caught on camera stomping the face of a black man as he laid on the ground in handcuffs. A white police officer, I don't know if you saw it, it's been on YouTube, and they've been playing it all week on TV, but he just jumped out of his car while he was already handcuffed on the ground by another police and just tried to stick his foot in his face. He's been fired.
There's
no consolation prize. He needs to be in jail. I mean, I don't know why you can assault somebody and you just get fired for that.
Listen, now, I think I'm sure they feel like they're doing a lot better because they fired him. Most of them didn't even get fired.
Yeah. Well, they don't fire them because they don't want to get sued, so they don't want to make it look like they did anything wrong. So they figure they can save money in the lawsuit if they claim that they did nothing wrong. Get it? If they fire him, you're almost admitting that he did something. So a student at Central Michigan University has been charged with smearing peanut butter in the face of a sleeping student who was he was allergic to peanut butter. And this kid, Dale Mirza, who is 20, is charged with a misdemeanor of hazing after the attack last October. The accused could get, now get this, 93 days in jail and a $1,000 fine if convicted.
That's it? He almost killed the guy?
Yes. Now, they were in the same fraternity, so the kid lived in a fraternity house, Alpha Chi Rho, which was sanctioned in 2011 for hazing incidents. So the accounting student who it happened to only told his family what happened months afterwards, and he blamed the incident on his decision to leave college. So he left college. The national fraternity condemned the incident and said they don't condone such behavior. But he was living in the frat house, and as a funny joke, this fool thought that he just put peanut butter on his face. That is frat boy behavior. Yeah, I don't get it either. But to get 93 days in jail for that, I don't get that.
It's just crazy.
They probably need, they need to do something to him. Now, a Massachusetts firm is using the selfie movement to keep your taxes secure. Now, this Morpho Trust is testing an electronic ID app that requires users to identify themselves with a selfie in order to file their taxes. Okay, you know what? There's a lot of things we need security for. You don't need security for sending your tax information in. Think about it this way. I never understood this about bill pay or bill pay apps. Why does it have to be you to pay your bill? Right?
I don't know.
When somebody says, show me ID to pay your bill, I always look at them like they're crazy. Do you want the money? Do you care who's paying? I mean, I don't get that. They're like, well, we need to verify it's you. Why? So they verify you coming and going.
Right.
I never understood. I thought you might be able to help me with that, but apparently,
nope. I got
you know,
nothing.
That okay. All right. Now I would play a nice little game of black or white on you, but I think you're going to get these two. Now, a girl 17 and her boyfriend are charged with murdering their 63-year-old grandparents after the couple were found. Yes, two Georgia teens. This would be Cassandra Bourget, who's 17, and John Ryder, who's 19, were officially charged with murder on Wednesday for the slaying of her grandparents. Okay, so we'll skip that one. Now, here's another kid, 14. He said, "I shot my parents, but they're standing by me." This kid fired 6 rounds into their body while they slept, but they forgave him and are visiting him in jail. Now, the couple is from the state of Washington, and they miraculously survived being shot by their 14-year-old son and have explained why they stood by him. Now, again, I wouldn't go any farther into the story to figure out why they were what they said, because I just thought they were just damn crazy. Like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not reading them more the story. I don't care what they say. He shot them in cold blood while they were sleeping. They were like, you know what?
Oh, my God.
He probably wanted the car keys, couldn't find them. Like, I'm like, they're going to say something that's going to make me dislike them. So I didn't read the rest of it. Sorry. I'll have to go back and look at that story at some point. All right. So, since we have about 7 minutes, I want to play, this is only 2 minutes, but, you know, Charlie Murphy, they had an unsung on Charlie Murphy. So we're going to play a clip, a little collage of Charlie, of some folks. I can't even remember the comedian. But it's going to be Eddie Griffin and some other comedians talking about Dave Chappelle. So this is what appears, a clip of some of the collage from Unsung. We're talking about Charlie Murphy. All right, here we go.
You say his name, Charlie Murphy.
And he was, Charlie Murphy. You got to say it right, Charlie Murphy.
I don't think that anybody can tell a story the way Charlie Murphy tells a story.
And then Charlie would go into one of them stores and everybody in the room is on the floor dying laughing.
He got to be the black Mark Twain. I mean, the really black Mark Twain. I mean, the very, very black Mark Twain.
Charlie's great. Charlie has a great energy as an actor. He brings a great energy to the screen.
So now you want to be an actor, huh?
And I laughed for 6 months.
You Eddie Murphy, bro.
You and Charlie look just alike.
That made everybody know who Charlie was.
A lot of people gave me shots. But it also always felt like there was this thing in front of me.
The true identity of who Charlie Murphy is, he's always been this person that's been fighting to win.
And I worked hard to be where I'm at right now, and that's why I'm here. It's not because of anything mystical or anything. I put the work in. I'm here because I deserve to be here, not because somebody felt sorry for me.
You know, Charlie is so brutally honest in the things he says and the way he feels, and he don't have no problem explaining it to nobody.
I don't give a f*** if you think I'm funny in that.
Because he was always so talented, but he had that rough side, too.
And Charlie was just a thug.
If I heard you say, that n***a ain't funny, pow!
You know I can't f*** with Charlie right now. Too damn crazy for me.
Oh, yeah, because at this time when I'm doing this, my brother's already Beverly Hills Cop.
He's funny and he's got his own thing.
He would always give me something new and something honest and something real. And he's incredibly funny.
All right. That was a clip. Charlie Murphy was on Unsung. He was on Hollywood's Unsung. And so I think they're going to re-release that. But that was Eddie Murphy. His brother Eddie Murphy talking about him, and Eddie Griffin, Donnell, I want to say it's Rollins maybe, who was on the Chappelle Show with him, and a lot of other comedians. D.L. Hughley was on that, and Cedric the Entertainer also speaks about Charlie Murphy. But Charlie Murphy, who, you know, said flat out, if I was trying to copy my brother's style at all in comedy, people would have ran him up out of there and say, well, I could just go see Eddie Murphy. He's just trying to be Eddie Murphy. So he said he didn't hang around anybody, you know, Chris Rock and those guys. He didn't hang around them to develop his comedy style. He did it outside of that. And so he definitely was his own, he had his own style as a comedian. So, you know, I wanted to make sure I played that because I know as people, and I didn't do that when I prepared this show to say, you know, Eddie Murphy's brother, Charlie Murphy, passed. It was, I did that very intentionally to say the actor, comedian, Charlie Murphy, because he did
exactly.
do a good job to
exactly.
to stand on his own. Mm-hmm.
He really did. He really did. You know, all these years I've been watching him, I never really referred to him as Eddie Murphy's brother after maybe the first time I saw him. And people were like, oh, you're watching this comedian that you fall in love with, and somebody says, oh, you know that's Eddie Murphy's brother. They're like, what? You know, and then
right.
After that, that was it. Because it never looked like he only made it because of his brother, ever. That
mm-hmm.
guy was outrageously funny.
Yeah.
What a great person.
Yeah, he definitely was in his own lane with school. But like I said, hey, I remember him in CB4, so I just we won't go back with that. See, you got to talk about all the really black movies that he did. You know, Roll Bounce,
right.
And
yes.
You know, you almost forget that he was in those movies.
That's so funny.
I'm trying to think of.
Roll Bounce. I love
which
movie?
Roll Bounce? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I was just saying earlier that he although I don't remember him as a prominent part of Norbit, but he actually was one of the producers on Norbit, too, for his brother's show Norbit, which is hilarious. I actually watched that movie a lot, too, but Roll Bounce, if I see it on, I'm going to watch Roll Bounce. What'd you say?
I love that movie, too.
So, yeah, for Roll Bounce or Norbit or, like I said, he's played in a ton of movies, and I much respect to Charlie Murphy and the Murphy family, because technically to go through that and not really – there was no fanfare, and his friends literally kept it hush that he was going through that. I think the interview that I saw with D.L. Hughley, you know, he got really, really choked up at the end, but he kept it together for his show as he was talked about until just at the end. But you can tell those guys were actually friends, and so it was cool the way they came out. No, everybody's not running to his brother or the family asking him to comment that he does have a peer group, you know, Dave Chappelle's words and Eddie Griffin's words and those guys, you know, Cedric the Entertainer, he's George Lopez. He's actually done work with Mike Epps, you know, he was in Roll Bounce with Mike Epps. They were both garbage men on Roll Bounce, but you know, those guys actually hung and doing the comedy circuit. And like he said, you know, you're doing all of those dates. He's doing, you know, 200-something dates a year of comedy shows across the country. So, you know, just wanted to make sure that we acknowledge them.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that.
Okay.
You know, I was really disappointed that we, you know, the outcry for him is not greater. You know, I've seen it in ticker tape going across the bottom of the screen, and then not.
Yeah.
You know, so it's hurtful to see that.
Yeah, you know, I can't. I don't know what to say about that, but I can't ever, I can't ever say that European culture, like, they pick and choose which one of us they want to deal with on any given day. Like, I know I didn't do the story about David Letterman's mother passing, for example, and I like David Letterman since he came on really late night David Letterman back in the days, and hilarious. But, you know, they picked that story up, and that moved ahead of that. And no disrespect to Dave on this. I was just saying that they discard us like, oh, that was just Eddie Murphy's brother. You know, like they pick and choose us through us culturally and flick us away when, you know, when it doesn't suit them. And so I always have a problem with that, so... You know, I'm trying to be easy about it, but yeah, it is kind of sickening to me that you don't see too much of it. But I'm glad that the people who he respected are respecting him. But you know,
yeah.
Mainstream media doesn't respect squat when it comes to people of color generally.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yep. It really is. But I'm so barely able to pay homage to this great actor, talented actor, comedian.
Yes.
Father.
Yeah.
Husband. You know, I'm sure you talked about the fact that he recently, I think a couple of years ago, lost his wife. And,
yeah.
You know, a couple of
lost
people
his wife to actually some kind of cancer too, right? Didn't she?
Yeah, uterine, I believe.
Yeah.
Uterine cancer. So a couple
you
of
think
people
it was what?
A couple of people are saying that they, you know, part of this might have been a broken heart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, you know, he actually spoke about that, saying how when he met her, it was like he just knew he was going to marry her. And, you know, he has, you know, some kids to take care of. But he just said that sometimes you don't ever have a perfect match like that. So, yeah, you know, that is a real thing. That people die of broken hearts. That's why you have to watch people when other people pass away.
Yeah, that's true. That happened with the Queensboro president, Helen Marshall. I don't know if you're familiar with Helen Marshall. But
no.
I think not even months after her husband died, she passed away.
Yeah. And I actually know of that happening with someone in this area. Like this woman's husband passed, and she was maybe just like maybe 3 years younger than me, and she had heart problems, and she ended up passing, and that's what the diagnosis was. That was it. That she had heart related trauma. So.
Well,
there you have it.
And blessings and rest, lots of rest in peace to our brothers.
Oh. Charlie, my bad. And then, you know, the funny thing is that every time he gets introduced, he's like, you just can't say Charlie Murphy. You have to say Charlie Murphy. And that would be Rick James' homage to him.
That's right.
So... Shout out to Charlie Murphy, and thanks everyone for tuning in. We will definitely see you again next week, but hey, you're listening to SBNet News. Tune in, Charlie Murphy. Hit me one time, camera. There you go. That's how it works. That's how it goes over here. All right, we'll see you again.
Love
Have a
you,
good
Charlie.
Week, Kathleen.
You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right.